Street Spirit by Kevin Lenihan. James Bonner picked himself up from the street where he had fallen, theatrically dusting off his grease-stained, filthy blue duffel coat. Though he was only in his mid-twenties, his receding hairline, dark patchy beard and deeply furrowed face gave him the look of a man about 15 years older. He looked up and glared with bloodshot eyes at the handsome, chisel-jawed man who had just thrown him down the steps. "Sorry, Jim, you're not coming in here tonight," he said apologetically. "You know the rules. No booze, no fighting." "Ah, come on," James whined, his face shifting from an angry scowl to one of feigned shock. "I barely touched him." The man at the top of the steps folded his arms but remained silent. James held his arms out to either side, palms face up, and looked at the dark, cloudy sky. "It's gonna start bucketing down any minute." "You can try over at the Jacobson Hostel. They've usually got beds around this time." And with that, the man stepped backwards into the open doorway behind him and slammed the door shut, the loud click of the lock leaving no uncertainty. James growled at the big metal door and silently loosed every curse he could think of upon it. He let his arms flop down by his sides and set off down the long street, grumbling angrily to himself as he stomped past the closed shop fronts and locked doors of apartment buildings, the few people walking the street the other way giving him a wide berth as they went by. He passed by an alleyway lined with a few large bins and ducked into it, lifting the lid of the first one he came to. Inside, he found the usual city detritus of black bags filled with foul-smelling rubbish and a nasty stench of rotting fruit. He sighed and was just about to drop the lid when he noticed a yellow polystyrene container. He grabbed it and flipped it open, finding inside a large burger with only one bite out of it. He gave it a sniff and shrugged before closing the container again and shoving it into the huge pocket of his coat. He let the lid of the bin drop down with a tremendous thud and headed back out into the street. As he walked a little further down, he passed a building that had at one point been a hotel, but now was fenced off, warning signs all over it, warding off trespassers and advising the use of hard hats and safety equipment. The fence was held in place by several concrete breeze blocks into which metal poles had been inserted, but just here the posts seemed to have been knocked out of its moorings. James grasped the pole and lifted it up easily, pulling it forward to create a gap just about big enough for him to squeeze through. He looked in and saw that the building still seemed to be mostly intact, though it was missing most of its windows and the front door. A single tiny drop of rain hit his forehead and the sound of thunder rumbled in the distance. A few seconds later, the rain was crashing down on the street like a vertical river. A small group of people on the other side of the street took off at a run as James instinctively hopped through the gap and ran in through the doorway. The sound of the downpour outside took on the quality of radio static as it echoed around the walls of the empty lobby that James now found himself in. The floor was bare concrete and dust, pocked all over with holes, joined by cracks that weaved all over it. Huge pillars rose up to the ceiling in a few places across the room, once probably quite ornate, but now stripped down to concrete and metal. He walked across the huge space to an exposed staircase in the corner, crisscrossing its way up to the ceiling. He climbed up the stairs, still grumbling to himself as he made his way to the next floor. An empty doorframe greeted him on the landing as he stepped out into the elevator lobby. The two sets of elevator doors across from him sat wide open, the shafts beyond them empty, the elevators and cables probably having been removed long before. On the wall adjacent to this was the entrance to a hallway. He walked across the filthy beige carpet and looked down the long corridor, listening for any sound, though he could hear nothing but the battering of the rain outside, interspersed with the irregular tooting of car horns in the distance. The doors had long since been removed from each of the rooms, and he looked curiously into each one as he walked by, finding them disappointingly empty, with the exception of the room at the very end of the corridor. In this room, he was delighted to find a huge pile of what looked like bedding. He stepped into the room for a closer look and found, piled up in the middle of the floor, what looked like all the sheets and duvets from the other rooms. As he walked further into the room, he noticed on the other side of the pile of bedclothes a large, jagged-edged hole in the wall that went from the floor to about waist height. He crouched down to look inside it, but it was too dark. He turned around and kicked the pile of bedclothes a few times experimentally. When nothing scurried out, he shrugged and flopped down on top of it, raising a little dust as he did so. He shifted around as he sank a little way into it and reached into his pocket, pulling out the polystyrene container and flipping it open. He pulled the burger out from inside, threw the container over towards the doorway, and lifted the bun to inspect the contents. One edge of the meat looked a little too blackened and nasty. He picked this small chunk off and threw it casually to the side where it landed on the floor, just next to the hole in the wall. As he bit into the burger, a shuffling sound on his left caught his attention. He looked around just in time to see something indistinct retracting back into the hole in the wall, the small piece of burger meat now gone from where it had landed. A long, low, rumbling growl came from somewhere inside the hole. James flopped his arms around and kicked his legs as he struggled to get up, bits of lettuce scattering around as they fell out of the container in his hands. He jammed his elbows into the pile and threw himself forward, landing awkwardly on his feet. As he turned towards the hole and held out his hands in front of him, the growl lowered and became something more closely approximating a whimper. He squinted curiously into the darkness of the crevice and crouched down to get a better look. He could see nothing in the blackness. He picked another piece of meat off the burger and threw it gently. It bounced across the floor and landed a few inches from the hole. Something lashed out of the darkness and snatched the little brown lump from the floor, much too quickly for him to make out. A sound of chewing was heard briefly before another brief whimper, and then silence. "Huh," he grinned as he stood up and flopped back onto the pile of bedclothes. "You live here, boy?" But there was no response from the hole. "Okay, be like that," he said as he shoved what was left of the burger into his face. Once he was finished, he threw the container into the far corner of the room and turned on his side to watch the hole, in the hopes that the dog inside might venture out. James awoke to the sound of car horns, engines, and people in the street outside as sunlight streamed in through the empty window frame. He sat up, blinked the sleep out of his eyes, and a glint on the edge of his vision caught his attention. He looked over to the floor just beside the hole, and there, on the floor right next to it, was a few banknotes with a small pile of coins weighing them down. He got up off the pile with some minor difficulty and crouched down on the floor to pick them up. He wondered how he hadn't noticed them the night before. He had been pretty tired, but he was certain he would have seen it. He shrugged as he gathered up the money and put it in his pocket. Then he extended his knuckle and knocked on the wall next to the hole. "You in there, boy?" he said, grinning. When there was no response, he simply stood up and headed out of the room, counting the money. He could get a slap-up grill and two bottles of wine out of this, no problem. A pair of green eyes flashed in the darkness as they watched him go. James picked himself up once more from the street, wiped the blood from his upper lip, and stared up at the man at the top of the steps with the chiseled jaw, who was now sporting a bloody nose. "I took a chance and let you back in, and you just couldn't keep a lid on it, could you?" he shouted, sniffing blood. "I'm coming back in there," he roared back, pointing at the doorway behind the man. "No, you're not," said the man matter-of-factly as he stepped backwards into the doorway, closed, and locked it. As James stood, still pointing at the door impotently, a voice like a saw came from behind him.
"You really showed him, didn't you?"
James grit his teeth and turned to face a man with deeply pockmarked skin and long, filthy fur hair. He was grinning with a mouth that had more gaps than teeth as he leaned against the brick wall of the building, his long beige trench coat blowing gently in the breeze.
"Sammy, where have you been?" said James, smiling wickedly. "You still owe me."
"Tell you what, you find me a place to stay tonight and tomorrow I'll give you everything I owe ye."
He stepped forward and held out his hand.
"Deal."
James looked down at the ruby red inflamed skin on the man's fingers and kept his own hands firmly at his sides. "Sure thing, I got just a place, I reckon."
"No offence, Jim, but this place is a shithole,"
said Sammy, standing in the doorway of the room as James flopped down onto the pile of sheets.
"You don't like it?" said James, shooting him an angry look. "Maybe you'd prefer prison, huh?"
Sam's face turned ashen grey.
"Maybe I should have turned you in. At least you'd be getting 3 squares a day and a bed to sleep in."
"Don't you joke about that,"
Sammy hissed, his face now a mask of shame.
"You know that weren't my fault. I told her what would happen if she mouthed off again."
Hey, relax, relax," James chuckled. "I didn't turn you in before, did I?"
Sammy seemed to relax a little, but was clearly still agitated.
"And sure, how am I going to get what you owe me if you're in a cell?"
"All right then,"
Sammy grumbled as he walked over and made to lie down on the sheets. James held his arm out in front of the man.
I don't think so, he said, shaking his head. He pointed down at the floor beside the hole in the wall. This is my bed. Sammy pulled one of the sheets out from the edge of the pile and threw it down on the floor where James had pointed.
You're a mean old shit, Jimmy,
he said as he spread it out and lay down on it, his head next to the hole in the wall.
A mean, nasty old shit.
James laughed quietly to himself as he turned away, pulling the blankets around himself as he did so. He listened sleepily as Sammy muttered angrily to himself down on the floor before he fell soundly asleep. A short yelping sound woke James from his slumber as his eyes shot open, not sure if he had really heard it or just dreamed it. He sat up and looked around the dark room, lit only very faintly by the street lights outside, finding, much to his disappointment, but not entirely to his surprise, that Sammy was no longer on the floor where he had been. He had half expected the man to take off at a moment's notice. He was about to lie back down when he heard a thudding from inside the wall. He smiled over at the hole. "You still in there, boy?" he said, surprised. There was a brief whimper, followed by a deep, dull crunch. James thought there was something distinctly wet about the sound. Well, at least you're keeping yourself fed, he smiled once more as he lay back down and turned away, the dull chewing in the wall lulling him back to sleep. James stood next to the mound of sheets and stared in shock at the stack of bills with a few coins weighing it down. It was more money than he had seen in one place in a very long time. Had Sammy left it for him? It hadn't been there when he woke up last night after that bastard ditched him. He crouched down and picked up the money, rolled it up and stuffed it into his pocket. Just as he was about to get up, he noticed four small streaks in the wall at the edge of the hole. They were brownish red and looked like smeared fingerprints. He knocked on the wall. "You in there, boy?" he called. There was no response. He crawled over to the hole and, after a moment's hesitation, leaned his head inside. A sickly sweet smell greeted him and his nose curled up in mild disgust. As his eyes adjusted to the darkness, he could just make out an indistinct shape to his right. He reached out slowly towards it and found his hand closing on soft, wet material. He grabbed it tight and leaned back, pulling it out of the hole and into the room. It was a long, beige trench coat. More precisely, it was Sammy's long, beige trench coat, the entire lining of which was soaked through in a thick layer of what looked very much like blood. He let go of it and looked at his hands, his fingertips now soaked red. He stood up and staggered backwards and out of the door, afraid to turn his back until he was well out of the room. He was halfway down the hallway when he turned, sprinted as fast as he could, getting to the stairs and taking them two at a time before barreling his way across the lobby and out into the street.
Hey, I don't know about this now.
The bald, overweight man looked down at the money in his large, stubby hand and looked back up at James.
I think I'm going to need the next month's rent in advance too.
James stuffed his hand into the pocket of his greasy duffel coat and pulled out a roll of notes. He counted off a few of them and slapped them into the man's hand. Enough, he said impatiently.
Yeah, it'll do,
the man said begrudgingly. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a small key ring with two keys on it and dropped it into James's open hand.
Big ones for the front door, little ones for the apartment.
Then he turned around and walked out, slamming the door behind him and leaving James alone to look around his new home. The apartment was essentially one room with a kitchen counter, refrigerator, and an oven on one wall and a bed on the other. Next to the bed, part of the room was sectioned off with a stud wall and inside was a sink, shower, and a toilet. He walked over to the kitchen counter, pulled open a drawer, and stuffed the rest of his money inside. He thought briefly about the hole in the wall and a shiver ran up his spine before he slammed the drawer shut. He stood there, leaning on the counter for a moment, 100 thoughts rushing through his head until one settled in the front of his mind. He stared at the wall for a long time before he turned and headed out the door. James watched from across the street as an elderly man stood at the door of the hostel pleading to be let in. He had been waiting all day for this to happen. The man in the doorway shook his head apologetically and closed the door. As the old man began to walk dejectedly down towards the street, James broke cover and rushed across the road to meet him at the bottom of the steps.
"Hey there, old fella. You need a place to stay?" he said, smiling as broadly as his face would allow.
The old man's face, framed by white curly hair and a big white beard, regarded him suspiciously.
"Well, that all depends, son. What's it gonna cost me?"
Oh, nothing at all. Not a single penny, said James, his face starting to hurt from forcing the smile.
Is it far?
Said the old man, sagging and clearly exhausted. Oh, no, said James, relieved. It's just down the street. Follow me. The man followed him down the street and looked at him with renewed suspicion when he stopped outside the abandoned hotel and pulled the fence aside, motioning for him to enter. The man approached the gap in the fence and leaned over to look in.
Sorry, son, he said, leaning back again, but I think I'll try my luck at Jacobson's tonight.
Ah, but that's too far, James said, trying and failing to keep the pleading out of his voice. Look, just get in there. He grabbed the man by the lapel of his grey overcoat and tried to drag him in, but the man pulled back against him with an unexpected strength. James looked around both ways and, seeing no one else in the street, rammed his forehead into the man's nose as hard as he could. There was a deep crunch and the man dropped to his knees, blood beginning to pour from his nose. James grasped him firmly by the collar and dragged him forward on his belly into the gap in the fence. He glanced around one last time and, seeing no one else around, dragged the old man through the gap and closed the fence again behind him. The man mumbled indistinctly a few times as James dragged him across the huge empty lobby. When they got to the foot of the stairs, the man's arm shot out and grabbed the metal banister that rose out of the bottom step, clinging to it with all his strength. James let go of the man's lapel, drew back his foot, and kicked him hard in the side of the head. The man's arm dropped limply down and his mumbling fell silent. After some serious effort, James managed to drag the man up the stairs, down the hallway, and into the room with the pile of sheets, and more importantly, the hole in the wall. He dragged the man across the floor and dropped him next to the hole, before quickly retreating away from it. The man's mumbling began again, though much quieter this time, as his eyes reopened and rolled back in his head. His head lolled over to the side and he looked directly at James, who took another step backwards towards the door. The man opened his mouth to speak, but just as he did so, there was a movement in the hole behind him, and a pale, slender hand shot out of the darkness, gently covering his mouth. Then a gentle, soft voice from inside the hole said, "Shh." And with that, the man was pulled bodily into the hole. What followed were several wet popping sounds, a dull crunch, and then silence. All the while, James resisted the urge to run, his gaze transfixed on the hole. He expected to see the hand reach out and drop a wad of cash, or maybe throw it out of the hole, but what actually happened was, after a few minutes, there was simply a stack of notes and a few coins sitting there, as if they had always been there. He hadn't noticed them appearing, but he wasn't about to stand around and question it. He darted forward, quickly snatched the cash from the floor and shoved it into his pocket, backing out of the room, making his way out of the building at a running jog, not daring to look back. James pushed in through the front door of his apartment and closed it behind him. Leaning against it, the expression of shock on the man's face as he was pulled into the hole, running over and over again through his head. He reached into his pocket and felt the reassuring texture of the cash there as he began to breathe easier. He hadn't counted it yet, but it looked like more than enough to keep him going for a few months at least. He trudged over to the kitchen counter and pulled open the drawer. His eyes grew wide and his heart leapt in his chest as he glared at the contents. There, where the money had been, was now just a small pile of brown, dead leaves of various kinds. When he reached in and tried to grab them, they crumbled in his hands. A second later, he heard a loud pounding on the apartment door. The voice of the landlord came from the other side, loud but muffled.
I know you're in there. Open this goddamn door. I've got my own keys, you know.
James looked back at the drawer, at the desiccated mess, and his hand shot back into his pocket to feel the crisp banknotes inside. His stomach dropped as the door behind him flew open. The landlord, still dressed in his stained white vest and blue trousers, stomped across the floor, grabbed James's shoulders, and spun him around. He held onto him with one hand, while the other he held up a fistful of brown, dead leaves.
What the hell is this, huh?
He roared as he threw them in James's face.
I don't know how the hell you did this, but I want you out of here now or I'm calling the cops.
He held out his now free hand.
Keys!
Without a word, James reached into his pocket and fished out the small key ring and dropped it into the man's hand. His former landlord then proceeded to drag him across the floor, down the hallway, and throw him out through the front door and into the street. He got up and walked dejectedly along beneath the orange streetlights, his hands in his pockets, flipping over the roll of notes. Once again, the face of the old man danced across his mind's eye.
He grit his teeth and set off at a slow, steady jog.
Get out here!
James screamed at the hole in the wall. He took another pull from the bottle of fortified wine and then threw it at the wall where it exploded right next to the hole and shard the floor with glass and what remained of its contents. He pulled a second one from his large coat pocket, unscrewed the cap, and took a pull from that too. After swallowing hard, he laughed loudly and shouted,
"You owe me!"
There was a soft, gentle laugh that echoed all around him. Then a smooth, silken voice said,
Oh my, greedy, greedy, greedy. Oh, Jimmy Bonner, do you really want what's owed? Didn't I give you your due?
You gave me a bunch of money that turned into leaves?
Jimmy said, though he was no longer shouting. He started to think maybe he had made a mistake.
But hey, that's all water under the bridge, he said, taking a step backwards towards the door. All is forgiven.
Oh no, Jimmy,
said the voice, louder now.
If there's one thing I can't be having with, it's ingratitude.
Two hands came out of the dark and grasped either side of the hole. James was about to run when, in the middle of the hole, the most beautiful face he had ever seen moved out into the light. It had strong cheekbones, ruby red lips, and long, flowing black hair. But James couldn't help thinking there was something off about it. As the rest of the head extended forward out of the hole, he realized exactly what was wrong with it. It may have been a beautiful face, but it definitely didn't belong to the head it was attached to. Stitch marks all around the edge of it attached it to the grey skin of a neck that was slightly too long. As the creature moved further out, it began to unfold from the tiny hole and slowly drew itself up to a height that was at least 7 feet tall. It looked down at James with its stolen face from atop a misshapen body, distended around the belly, covered by short green dress that seemed to be made out of leaves. Its arms looked normal up to the elbows, where more stitch marks held the pale, perfect skin to grey, sagging upper arms. From its back, four giant wings folded out, transparent, veiny, and rounded at the ends, like the wings of a fly. The pretty face smiled down at him, exposing perfect white teeth. When it spoke, a second set of yellow jagged teeth moved behind these.
Now, what do I owe you, Jimmy, my lad?
I'm sorry,
Jimmy stuttered, finding his legs completely unresponsive.
Now, it's too late for that, and I've heard them all,
she said, almost sympathetically as she stepped towards him and put her hands gently but firmly on his shoulders.
Don't you know anything, Jimmy Bonner? When a fairy gives you a gift, never ask for more.
She gripped his shoulders tightly and stepped backwards as he was dragged along, powerless to resist. She hunched down and began to fold up as she backed into the hole in the wall, dragging James with her.
You belong to me now, sonny,
she cackled as they crossed the threshold of the hole, her hot, rank breath blasting him directly in the face.
Now I have a feeling I'm going to need to make this meal last a very long time.
Coming to you live from inside the hollow earth. Coming to you live from an abandoned subway tunnel somewhere underneath a famous European city. From a geosynchronous orbit approximately 500 miles above the North Antrim coast. From the securely locked bathroom of the 13th room on the 13th floor of Western Europe's most haunted hotel. From a tent at the bottom of a pit we hastily dug at the bottom of the garden. It's this week's apocalypse. Every Monday, join Kevin Lenihan and John Ferris as they try to figure out what the best movies are to help them survive the end of the world.
Okay, so Ginger Snaps. That it's whenever they do it, it's usually male puberty.
Yep.
It's usually
vicious beast like, and all that. Hairy vicious like beasts.
I think they do handle that. Well, speaking as a white man in my 30s, I'm just going to speak for all women here about how well this film handles adolescence. John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars. Now, I feel like I have to do this every week. Give a little speech about John Carpenter. Sort of justify why we're picking on him. I think John Carpenter's output in the 1980s was great. He's a lot like Metallica in that respect. Anyway, the whole thing is told in flashback. We're in a flashback already at this point. And he basically says to them, how did you end up in here? And then they are like, oh, well, here, let me tell you a wee story. And then we have a flashback of them and what happened to them before. So we're now in a flashback, in a flashback, in a flashback.
And I also find out that in the novelization of E.T., it apparently says that he is 3 million, he's over 3 million years old.
So you are f***ing kidding me.
No.
There's a few times in this movie where I got some extreme Twin Peaks vibes. If it's not a David Lynch homage or a reference, then M. Night Shyamalan is a space alien who doesn't know how human beings are, or how human beings speak or interact or behave when they're on their own or in a group.
See, it's just... Do you also think that the likes of Birdemic and movies of that ilk are intentional as well? Oh, this could end suddenly at any minute, and they come to this conclusion that it's probably going to peak around 9 p.m.
They literally show you a graph that represents the rest of the movie. Yeah.
We literally, a couple of days ago, just started watching a movie called Ice Fighters the other day, and
I saw a trailer for that.
It's terrible.
It was recommended under Beowulf for people who watch this also watch.
See, I think that's probably a sign of the type of movies that we watch now.
Which of these films is the best film for educating people about vampires?
In the context of the film, they do well, but you're watching them and you're just like, if you follow this example, you will die.
Yeah.
That being the case, which one of these films do you think best prepares you for...
dealing with ghosts?
Dealing with ghosts in space is going to help us best deal with being confronted by this single alien invader that we now find ourselves forced to confront. Is best to educate us about defeating and or escaping the fur folk of the Emerald Isle.
This week's Apocalypse, a companion and a survival guide, but really, it's just a fun podcast about movies. Available on iTunes, Spotify, and basically anywhere you get podcasts.
Hack the planet!
Maybe.
If you can, if you find the time.